read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. For those who have Bible, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. I'll read the whole chapter from verse 1 to verse 25. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Alright, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadab, Abinadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab, Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam, Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa, Asa begot Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah, and Uzziah begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah, Hezekiah begot Manasseh, Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Zechariah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Zechariah begot Shittiah, and Shittiah begot Jerubbabel, and Jerubbabel begot Abiud, Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azot, Azot begot Zadok, Zadok begot Achim, Achim begot Eliud, Eliud begot Eliza, and Eliza begot Matan, and Matan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generation from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angels of the Lord commanded him, and took him to his wife, and he did not know him, know her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and his name, or he named, or he called his name, Jesus. Father, this is your holy scripture. Every word, every jot and tittle is inspired by you. So in the name of Jesus, I pray you open up the scripture to us, that we may understand the Christmas story. So Lord, this portion of the scripture, when we read about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, I pray you open our eyes that we may see some of your spiritual treasure. So this morning I ask you anoint my lips to speak. You anoint the ears of your people to hear, that everything that is spoken, Lord, shall bring forth good fruits in their lives. So in the name of your Son Jesus, we pray and we ask. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to entitle the title of this sermon, The Christmas Story and Genealogy. And at the end of the service, there are about, 30, 40 of those, what they call handouts at the back on the counter. You can just pick a copy. I understand that maybe not everyone wants what they call a handout. So help yourself at the end of the sermon. But for the time being, we just don't worry about taking notes, because it's available on this handout. So this morning, as I say, I'm going to speak on the Christmas story and the genealogy. Now, two more days, we are going to celebrate Christmas Day, and therefore commemorating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, I feel that it is appropriate that we kind of go through this portion of the scripture about the Christmas story. And this segment of the scripture from verse 1 to verse 17 in particular is often noted as the forgotten segment of the Christmas story, because this word get repeated so many times. The word begot was in fact get repeated 39 times. So when I was reading the first portion of the scripture, I think many of you being bored by this name get repeated, or rather the word get repeated. This word, strange word, begot, has given rise to many strange memories. Just a little story about a little boy. One day he came back from a Sunday school and he was excited about the lesson that he learned. So his mother actually asked him what he had learned. And then the little boy actually replied, he says, "I learned all about the forgots of the Bible." And then the mother said, "What do you mean by the forgots of the Bible?" And this little boy said, "You know, Abraham forgot Isaac, and Isaac forgot Jacob, and Jacob forgot Judah." The mother said, "No, it's not forgot, but it's begot." All right? So it's a genealogy, a list of names, and most of them very unpronounceable. And because of that, we tend to kind of overlook this portion of the scripture, and it's hardly even read in public. I believe that this year, this is the first time that we read this portion of the scripture. And even in our private time, we don't normally go through this portion of the scripture unless we are, what they call, we have this discipline of following the reading the Bible in a year, the kind of plan. And then maybe once a year, we begin to read this portion of the scripture. But in the Luke Gospel, it traces the genealogy of Jesus starting from Adam, the first man that God created. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew actually traces the genealogy from Abraham right through David and then ending with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in between these names, we recognize some of the very familiar names like Jacob, Isaac, Solomon, Jehoshaphat, so on and so forth. But there are many other names that we have never heard of. And I have to kind of go through it. And one of it would be like Hexon, Abud, Azud, and even the name Salmon, you know, the name of a fish. A very strange name. Now, as history, this list is very heavy going. And when we read the list of the names, we have this impression, we have this particular feeling that actually there are many casts of character, but weak and what you call weak and boring plot. That is a general feeling. So, but the Bible is never meant to bore you. It is meant to build you up, to strengthen you, and to grow your faith in the Lord Jesus. So when you search out the matter, I believe that it will build our faith, which is what I'm going to do today. So when you have no depth in your Christian faith, you will fizzle away when you begin to experience some serious crisis and trials and tribulations in your life. That is stated for us in Matthew chapter 13. You know, the seed that falls on the ground, and it falls on one type of ground, which is what we call stony ground. And then it begins to sprout out, but because it has no depth, and when the sun comes out, the scorched sun comes out, and that depicts persecution, and then that particular plant would just die and fizzles away. And so it's important that we get a bit of depth into the scripture. And to the Jewish culture, the genealogy is very important. We may call this particular segment, the genealogy segment, the forgotten parts of the Christmas story. And we like to skip it in order to get the more interesting stuff. But the Jews of the first century would be quite surprised by our attitude. Now, to them, genealogy would have been an essential and important part of establishing who Jesus is. And therefore, the Jews paid very close attention to genealogy, because without them, they could not establish their tribal identity and claims their rights to inheritance and the rights to perhaps purchase a particular property. Now, you understand that in Old Testament history, after they crossed River Jordan and they conquered the part of Canaan, and then God gave them the particular promised land, and then God began to allocate what they call different portions of the land to the different tribal groups. Now, one of the Mosaic law is that in order to maintain the integrity of their property of a certain tribe, you know, they need to verify your identity. So, for example, if this Clarkson area belongs to the tribe of Judah, and all of us, let's say, live in Clarkson, it belongs to the tribe of Judah. If anybody wants to buy or sell a particular property, that person needs to be of the tribe of Judah. And you need to establish his genealogy. All right. And if he comes to another tribe, no way he's going to buy a property in this particular area. And then another example would be, let's say if there's a war and all of us get dispersed, and we lost our property when we went to another land, and we want to come back to claim our inheritance because it belongs to the tribe of Judah, you need to show and you need to identify yourself in the form of genealogy. And that is why genealogy is very important. So now you get a bit of the idea why it is important. Now, the second thing is whenever a census is taken, all right, each man must return to their ancestral hometown. And therefore, when the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census is to be taken or was to be taken of the whole of Roman Empire, and that it was that time that everyone had to go back to their hometown to for the census to be taken. It's not like the modern society where the people come and take a census and come to your home. Then it was different. So that was why Mary and Joseph had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem in the final month of a pregnancy for the Lord Jesus to be born. So they had to make a very long and a dangerous journey because Bethlehem was their ancestor hometown. And genealogy was also important to establish in determining the priesthood. So if you want to serve the Lord in the in the priesthood, they have to identify you. What is your genealogy? Do you belong to the tribe of Levi? And only the tribe of Levi is allowed to serve in the priesthood. So these are the few reasons why genealogy is important. Now, so the genealogy that we have read in the various gospels, now I'm going to go into what is the significance of the names and genealogy. All right, so as we can establish our faith firmly in who this Jesus is and where he came from. Now, there are four gospels in the Bible, and three of them talk about his genealogy. And when we look at the Gospel of John, he talks about the genealogy of Jesus in terms of who Jesus is. And this is why John chapter 1 verse 1, the first verse that it starts, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 3, it goes on to say that all things are made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So that is the genealogy of Jesus in terms of where He came from. Now, so the Word was a title that was given to the Lord Jesus. And before there was any creation, before there was any time and space, Jesus was. And He is. And He is God, and He is the second person of the Godhead. And then Jesus was also the one of the, what they call, a co-creator of the whole universe. Now, how do we know that? Because when we look into the accounts of Genesis chapter 1, it says God created the heaven and earth. And further down that particular chapter, it says that the earth was without form and without void. And there was darkness was on the face of the deep. And then he says that the Spirit was hovering over the face of the water. And then God began to speak, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, so in the beginning, when God created the heaven and earth, the Trinity was involved in creation. Alright, you read that God the Father, or rather the Spirit was present because it was hovering over the face of the water. And then God was present, the Father was present because He begins to create, He spoke the universe into existence by and through the Word. And the Word that was spoken was actually Jesus. Jesus was one of the creator, co-creator of the earth because He was the Word of God, and He is the Word of God. And that is why here it established that Jesus is God, and He is the Son of God from heaven, and He is divine. So here, John Gospel in the genealogy established His divinity. Alright, in the Luke Gospel, Luke traces the genealogy running from Adam right through to Mary, which means on the maternal side, on Jesus' mother's side. And Jesus had a family tree. He didn't just drop out of what they call nowhere. Because at God's appointed time and the perfect moment of history, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And He had a human family, a human mother in history. And Jesus was not some random character, not a fictional, not an imaginary character, like some fictional story that you read, you know, in some of the books, or it's not a mythology that you find in some of these pagan gods, whether it's a Roman pagan gods or whether it is a Greek pagan gods. It is none of those things. Jesus was born was a real person born into a real family. And that's why Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, when the time had fully come, God had sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So here, the genealogy establishes that Jesus is the son of man, of his humanity. Now then you may be asking, what's so big deal about all those things? Now it is important, because the law of divine justice requires that a sinless man can only fully make good or redeem the sin of humanity. And therefore Jesus has to be born a human being. So let me give you an example. If you lose a human leg, now to redeem your leg, what good is it if I give you money to compensate, to compensate you with that loss? What good is it if, someone tries to make it good by giving you an artificial metal or plastic leg? To make good, right, by money or other means is not a perfect redemption. I can only make good by replacing it with the same part and a fully functional human leg. And therefore, to redeem and to make a highly faulty and a sinful human man, someone must come as a sinless man to make good or redeem a sinful man. That is the point. That is the law of divine justice. And hence, therefore, the need for Jesus to be born as a human being. And that is why here the scripture is trying to prove what called Jesus' humanity in this part of the genealogy. And that's why John Gospel further say that the Word was what they call made flesh, and he dwell among us. Simply put, Jesus left the throne room of God and he became man. And about 4,000 years after Adam and Eve, the promised Son of God finally came on earth and became man. Now, the next question is, he became man. Then the next question is, you need to be a sinless man. How does one be born or can be born sinless? And that's why you have this particular scripture that we have just read. Verse 23 from Matthew chapter 1. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and bring forth a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So Jesus must be born of a virgin birth from a woman called Mary. And this was a very special birth, and it was a supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now every human being born is in sin, because we come from a what they call natural father and a natural mother. And therefore we are born in sin, because sin is in the blood. And biologically, our blood is actually inherited from our father, not our mother. You go and check medically. Our blood is inherited from our father and not our mother. And therefore, Jesus' birth was unique. The genealogy here was careful to point out that Jesus had a human mother by virgin birth, and Joseph was only a foster father, not a biological father. And that is why in verse 16 here, the book of Matthew says that Jacob begot Joseph. And then it goes on to say that Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. Which means to say, Joseph did not begot Jesus. It was actually coming from the humanity was actually coming from what we call the mother, Mary. And here, Jesus' humanity of flesh and bone, right, was biologically derived from his mother, and the seed was implanted in the womb of Mary was by the Holy Spirit, and is not human, but of the divine father. And therefore his blood was not from men, but was inherited from God the Father, and in this way, Jesus was born sinless. And therefore, the sin of humanity intrinsic in that blood was not transmitted to him. That is why the blood of Jesus is so powerful, it's so precious, it's able to cleanse our sin. That's why he's able to die for our sin, so on and so forth. And therefore, here, point C is this, Jesus as God-man was born sinless through the virgin birth. And not only he was born sinless, but he was tempted in his life in all ways that we have been, in ways that we have been tempted, and yet he led a sinless life, and he had to die on the cross to redeem mankind so as to fulfill the divine justice of God. And then they name this person, they name Jesus, they name him Jesus. Jesus here, it was explained to us in the scripture, it means to save his people from their sin. Which means to say, to save humanity from their sin and the consequences of sin, which is damnation. And then his other name is also called Christ. Christ, it means he's the Messiah. Christ means he is our Savior. And then the other name that was given to him was Emmanuel. That means God with us. God became man and he was with us. That is the whole, what called the different meanings to all the different names. So this is very important. So here, the genealogy, as I say, the significance of it is establishes who Jesus is on a solid foundation. The next thing is point number two. His genealogy is here to authenticate that Jesus is a Jew. That means he's of the line of Abraham, of the line of Isaac, and of the line of Jacob. Now this is important because Messiah was already prophesied or promised in the Old Testament Bible that he was supposed to be a Jew coming from the line of Abraham and Isaac and not Ishmael, all right, and of Jacob and not Esau. And that's why you have that genealogy there. And Genesis chapter 21 verse 2, it says that God spoke to Abraham. He says that in Isaac your seed shall be called. And therefore it's not through any other son but through the promised son Isaac. And then the other thing is, the third point is genealogy established that Jesus comes from the royal family of King David. This is the claim to kingship. Now, every devout Jew has been taught from young that their Messiah King must come from the line of David. And it was written in the Old Testament about 1,000 years before the time of Jesus. And it was from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, and also verse 16. Alright, that is why when they are taught about this, there is a term that was given to this Messiah King. And they call him the Son of David. So when you read the Gospel, then it says, it's this, when Jesus, after Jesus, before performed miracle signs and wonders and healing, the people, the commoner normally ask, is this the Son of David that we are looking for? And that is the terminology that is being coined to the Messiah King that must come from the line of David. Alright, so here, during the time of Christ, there were many other men, there were many other imposters who claimed to be Israel Messiah. And how would the people come to believe? Because they have to go to the, what you call the Old Testament as an authority. They need to check his genealogy. If he's not from the line of David, forget about him because he cannot be the Messiah. That is the point. And that is why Matthew chapter 1 begins this way. It says the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The first thing it says is the son of David and the son of Abraham. And then it let us give the details of how he came through the son of the David. And therefore David is listed here, even though chronologically Abraham came first in history. So why? Because the crucial issue is Jesus a direct descendant of King David? In order for him to qualify as a Messiah, all right, he must be a literal, he must be a physical descendant of King David. And we can see this principle in work. At work in all the different, what they call, royalties of the nations. Now let me ask you this question. When Queen Elizabeth steps down, who is going to take his place? Prince Charles, because he is next in line. And when he goes away, Prince Charles, who is next in line? Again, it is a genealogy that gives the answer. The oldest child of Prince Charles and Princess Diana, the late Princess Diana, you know, Prince William, right, would be the second in line, so on and so forth. That is why, you know, the genealogy is very important because there is a certain protocol in the succession. So the same is true for Jesus. His right to the throne is determined by his genealogy. All right, because genealogy be established beyond question that he is indeed the literal descendant of King David from the family tree, from both the what you call the foster father side of Joseph, as well as the mother side of Mary. It all comes from what you call King David, and then from the father side is actually through the son of Solomon, and then from the mother side is from the other son called Nathan. If you look at the genealogy, and then later it comes And then you have the foster father, Joseph. And then you have the biological mother, Mary. So either way, alright, King David is in that line. Alright, so that is important. The next thing is, the point number four is, it demonstrates that Jesus fulfills all the Old Testament promises and prophecy. Now, there are many, many, many prophecies that are stated in the Old Testament. And then for them to establish this person as a Messiah, all of these things must be fulfilled. Alright, take for instances. For instance, in the book of Genesis, God gave a promise. After Adam and Eve fell, and then God began to pronounce a judgment. And then he spoke to this, what you call, the serpent. And he says that, and I will put an enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And he said that he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now, which means there's going to be an enmity between, you know, the line of the serpent and also the line of what we call, and her seed. Now, notice that here is talking about the offspring from a woman. Normally, the offspring is taken from a man, as far as the line is concerned. But this is prophetic, saying that when you come to the Jesus, that humanity is going to come from Mary. That is why it's her seed and not Joseph's seed. So that is very important. So here, Jesus is going to come, and then the devil is going to, what you call, bruise his heel, but Jesus is going to bruise the head of the serpent, bruise the devil. It's an irrecoverable, what we call, strike upon the devil. So that scripture is going to be fulfilled with the birth of the Jesus Christ. And then another portion of the scripture says that Jesus is going to come from the tribe of Judah, which is taken from Genesis chapter 49 verse 10. And again, the genealogy shows that Jesus is coming from that line of Judah, of so many, what we call, the 12 children of Jacob. He came from the line of Judah. That is fulfilled as well. And the third thing is, God is going to fulfill the promises that's given to Abraham. And he cut a covenant with Abraham, who is the father of faith. In the Abrahamic covenant, he says that in your seed and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And all of us are here beneficiary. All of us come from different nations of the earth. We are the beneficiary of God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how it is fulfilled. All the families of the earth, not only selected tribe or selected race or selected nations, but all the families shall be saved. And then the fourth thing is, God fulfilled his promises to David. When David wants to build Lord the temple, and then later say, it's not a good idea, your son will build the temple for me. But he promised King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, he says, I will set up your seed after you and say, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And then very later on, verse 16, it goes on to say that, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. And he said, your throne shall be established forever. And that is why this king, the son of David, Jesus Christ, the greater King David, is going to establish his kingship and his throne forever. And you can see that these are some of the selected things through the genealogy, trying to prove, trying to demonstrate that Jesus indeed is the one who is and going to fulfill all those things stated in the Old Testament. Now I come to the last point, which is a very interesting thing. Now, we look at the genealogy. You look at the genealogy from Adam through about 77 names, and you come to Jesus. You find that there is a secret, there's a hidden message in that, what you call, in those names. Now, what do I mean by this? Let us look at the names. Because God has embedded some secret, what you call, prophetic or hidden prophetic message in the names of genealogy. Let us go through the names and their meaning. Hebrew name Adam, basically it means man. Alright, that is the first thing. And then Adam begot, what we call, Seth. Now, Adam begot Seth, the story is this. Adam and Eve have a couple of children. The first one was Cain and the second one was Abel. And then because of some envy, and Cain killed Abel. And then later on, Adam and Eve gave birth to another son called Seth. And Seth, and then Adam and Eve began to say, this is a son that God has appointed us in replacement of Abel. So the meaning of Seth means appointed. That is the meaning in English. The Hebrew is Seth, but the meaning is means appointed. You can read this in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. All right, one more click, please. Thank you. The third thing is Seth begot Enosh. Now, Enosh, the meaning of Enosh means mortal. And then Enosh begot Canaan, the meaning is sorrow. And I'm not going to go into the history of this, but you can read some of these extra-biblical readings outside the Bible, in particular Apocrypha, and it begins to give a bit of reason why they gave these names. Because the people were undergoing the period of grief and sorrow. And one is the word that was given, mortal and sorrow. And then we come to the fifth, in the line of the genealogy, Mahale'el, whatever, the meaning is blessed God. Now, in Hebrew, whenever you have a word El Shaddai, you can see Elohim, E-L, right? You always have the word God. That's the meaning. Mahadel El means the blessed God, right? And then the next son is Jared. Jared means shall come down. It was believed that why this name was given, because during that period, again, you read extra-biblical record. Remember Genesis chapter 6. It says the sons of God came down, and then they have a relationship with the sons of men, and then they give birth to what we call the giants, the Nephilim. All right, so that's why this son was called shall come down. And then we come to the seventh in the line called Enoch. Enoch is a very righteous person, and he was the one that did not die if he pleases God, and then God took him to heaven, so he didn't experience death. And he was, I believe, the first one to be raised up as a teacher, as a preacher. And prophetically, maybe that name was given to him by his father, Jared. And therefore, the name means teaching, means to instruct. That is the name of Enoch. In fact, he also prophesied the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And it was written for us in the book of Jude. And then the next thing is, Enoch gave birth to a son called Methuselah. Shay, all right, Methuselah. Now, this is the person lived the longest on earth, 900 over years. One more click, please. And his meaning means his death shall bring. Now, how did it come about? I believe God spoke to Enoch because he had a close relationship with Enoch. And God instructed Enoch, say that, you know, you're going to have a son. And at the death of your son, all right, it shall bring something. And therefore, he named his son called his death shall bring. And then later on, after Methuselah, then you have Lamech. Lamech, the meaning of Lamech means despair. Alright? Because at the death of his son, going to bring a flood, and therefore it's going to bring despair on the whole of what they call the whole earth. And then Lamech gave birth to a son called Noah, and he says the name of Noah means rest or comfort. That means God is going to bring us rest or comfort. And I believe, again, this is prophetic. But nonetheless, if you string all these names together, their meaning, all right, if you add maybe some small verb like is, you will add an article, der, and so on and so forth, and you put the right punctuation mark, you know, like a period, a comma, then you begin to see, all right, the whole story. So I'm going to string all these names together. I'm going to tell you the story that God is trying to say. Alright, the story is this. One more click. Means man, you add the verb is, appointed mortal sorrow. Which means to say man is going to take that forbidden fruit, he's going to die, and sorrow or mortality will come on humanity. So that is the thing that is going to come upon the whole of humanity. But then you put a period there, alright, before the blessed God, you add one more article called but. But the blessed God shall come down teaching or instructing. That's the meaning. Then add one more article called that. His death shall bring the despairing rest. So now we begin to see, make sense. in the genealogy. Now, so the Bible, it is, you know, fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is no ordinary books. All the 66 books are God-breathed and fully inspired in its writing. And even a boring segment like this, in terms of genealogy, God has got some intelligent design in telling the story, in telling the gospel, in telling, that's what he called the gospel message in the genealogy. And therefore, when you read a portion of the Bible, you thought it's boring. What is the whole point of all this? But there are so many things. As I say, the genealogy established a lot of things. And on top of that, there is this hidden message behind the names and the meaning. And if you go from Adam right to the 77 names, you have, I think, 7 segments of messages coming from that. But today, I'm just going to focus on this one particular segment, because if I go all the 7 segments, we will run out of time. Oh, so here, after doing all this, you came to realize that Jesus is truly God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. It is no fictional story, because there's so much, but as I say, so much intelligent design in the writings of all the different gospel, every part. As I say, even the so-called boring and insignificant parts of the portion of the scripture has got spiritual treasures for us to uncover. Now, it is not just for our knowledge. You may ask, what? So what? You know this, so what? It is not, as I say, this uncovering of this message, this uncovering of this revelation is going to impart spiritual treasures for us, for our inheritance. Each time when you dig into the Word of God, you are chewing, you are meditating the Word of God, and that spiritual treasure is going to be imparted into our spiritual being. And that is the purpose, you know, of going through this particular message. So, in conclusion, it's beyond the shadow of doubt, as I said, Jesus that was sent to earth was no ordinary human being, and he is indeed the God, the Messiah, and the Savior of the world. And I ask, through this message, I hope that it begins to stir up your faith. It begins to deepen your faith walk in the Lord Jesus. And I trust that this message is going to bless you. It's going to further encourage you. It's going to further strengthen your faith in the Lord Jesus. So may I invite the musicians to come forward, please.